वासुदेवाय Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, Texts 10 to 12. Nan asau duram aniya, shete mamiha saduvat. Iti matvachutam mudhas tampada samattadayat nanvaso duramaniya shete mamiha saduvat iti matvachutam mudhas Tampada samataadaya nanvaso duramaniya shete mamiha saduva iti matva chutam mudhas tampada samataadaya Matajis. Nanu. Is it so? Asau. He, duram, a long distance, aniya, bringing, shete, is lying down, mam, me, iha, here, saduvat, like a saintly person, iti, so, matva, thinking him, achyutam, to be Lord Krishna, Moodha, deluded, tam, him, pada, with his foot, samatadayat, struck with full force. So, after leading me such a long distance, now he is lying here like some saint, thus kicking the sleeping man to be Lord Krishna. The deluded fool kicked him with all his strength. Text 11. Sauthaya chiram supta shanair unmilya lochane disho vilokayan parshvetam adrakshid avastitam. The man awoke after a long sleep and slowly opened his eyes. Looking all about, he saw Kalayavan standing beside him. Text 12. Satavatasya rushtasya drishtipatena bharata deha jenagnina dagdo basmasad abhavat kshana. The awakened man was angry and cast his glance at Kalayavan, whose body burst into flames. In a single moment, O King Parikshit, Kalayavan was burned to ashes. Purport: the man who incinerated Kalayavan with his glance was named Muchukunda. As he will explain to Lord Krishna, he had fought for a long time on behalf of the demigods, finally taking as his benediction the right to sleep undisturbed. The Harivamsa explains that he secured the further benediction of being able to destroy anyone who disturbed sleep. Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from the Sri Harivamsa as follows: Prasuptam bodayat yo mam tam daheyam aham sura chakshusha krodha deeptena evam aha puna puna. Again and again Muchukunda said, O demigods, with eyes blazing with anger, may I incinerate anyone who awakens me from sleep. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Muchukunda made this rather morbid request to scare Lord Indra, who Muchukunda thought might otherwise wake him repeatedly to request his help in fighting Indra's cosmic enemies. Indra's consent to Muchukunda's request is described in Sri Vishnu Puran as follows: Proktascha devai samsuptam yastvam uttapayishyati deha jenagnina sadya satu bhasmi karishyati. The demigods declared, whoever awakens you from sleep will suddenly be burned to ashes by a fire generated from his own body. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today morning we are hearing the pure message of the Srimad Bhagavatam from from not such a pure speaker actually, so need all your blessings. So now we are at an interesting point in the Srimad Bhagavatam where we are dealing with a burnout case. It's you can call it a fried out or a deep fried case. This is so from one point it is you may think I'm referring to Kalyavan. Definitely, like we read in the story that he's got burnt out. But also I would like to see that actually if you see from Muchukunda's point of view, he is also probably getting burnt out here. It's probably the first recorded history of a person getting burnt out due to institutional work pressure. If you just look at it, it looks very simple. So far, at least that was my understanding. Only when I actually, Balde Prabhu gave me the service of giving class, I looked at the purport. Very interesting. Otherwise, what we know of the story is that Muchukunda was very tired fighting, and then he asked the benediction, don't disturb me, and then he just went to sleep. But if you see very carefully, Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, punah punah, again and again Muchukunda said, O demigods with eyes blazing with anger, may I incinerate anyone who awakens me from sleep. So this again and again is a big giveaway. If he's saying again and again, that means he really wants it desperately. And he's addressing Indra. It is almost like we can almost visualize it. Seeing Muchukunda telling Indra, look, nobody should disturb me. Nobody should disturb me. So that is the kind of, thing. Of course, I don't have any this thing, but we can just by these two words, again and again, Muchukunda's requesting, we can kind of infer from there. So when you just see this, if you just relate this to our life, there is always a dynamic tension between our personal growth and the needs of the institution. There is always there. And this is experienced by everybody who's trying to practice spirituality under an institution. How much is too much? How much sadhana, personal sadhana is too much? How much seva is too much? How much preaching is too much? There is always like a tension. And this is something which a new devotee who's coming into Krishna consciousness, into our movement, experiences, as well as, say, a global leader, who has thousands of followers, he also has to deal with this question. How much time should I give for myself and how much should I do for the institution? If I must, share a personal example, many years ago, almost 10 years ago, when I just joined the Brahmachari Ashram, and that time, of course, things have not changed much with me. My, chanting was spaced out, everything was spaced out. So whenever one senior devotee was there, I was serving under him, senior Brahmachari, he would always come to me for some seva. And I would always tell him, no Prabhu, I can't do seva now, I have some rounds remaining, please. So this happened quite a few times, maybe at least like say 10 to 12 times. And then one day this devotee just smiled at me and said, Shatbhuj Prabhuji, can I tell you one thing? I said, yes. He said, whenever I approach you, somehow I feel like the prostitute who approach Haridas Thakur. I was like, excuse me? So he said, even in Haridas Thakur's case, when the prostitute approached Haridas, he always said, no, not today, come tomorrow, I have rounds remaining. So when I heard this, this stuck in my mind, so immediately I removed my hand from the bead bag, I said, Prabhu, I'm all yours. So this is something we have to deal with. So now, what to do about it? Let's think about it, let's look at it. So basically the underlying principle in all our activities, everything that we do, be it sadhana, be it seva, whatever we do in life, it's because we are looking for satisfaction. That's like a fundamental principle. We are looking to be satisfied. Whatever we do, through our sadhana, seva, whatever. So about the satisfaction, there is this gold standard, that North Pole that says, that is this shloka tells us what is the satisfaction. Canto 1, chapter 2, verse 6. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaitukiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation of humanity is by which one can attain to loving devotional service to the supreme. And this devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted to be able to completely satisfy ourselves. That is what it is. If you are able to serve the absolute truth in a completely unmotivated and uninterrupted manner, that is going to satisfy the self. But the fact is still, a lot of dissatisfaction actually prevails. Of course, in the outside world, there is no doubt about it. But ironically or unfortunately, it's a fact that a lot of dissatisfaction prevails in the hearts of practicing devotees also, sadhaka. In fact, this tendency or this trend is so widespread that after some time, what happens is, sadhakas tend to kind of accept it as a way of life and think that, yes, this is how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be dissatisfied. And generally we encourage each other by saying that, look, just be dissatisfied, just go on. And at the end of life, Krishna is going to give you back all the returns. At the end of life, at the time of death, everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be very nice. So just accept your dissatisfaction. But if you just look at it, I'm just presenting another angle here. If we just refer to the Bhagavatam again, historical account. In the Bhagavatam in chapter 4, where it is, it mentions the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam about his power, Srimad Bhagavatam, the great Vyasadeva, who compiled all the Vedic literatures, who was Trikal Darshi, who was able to see the future, what is coming. He was also experiencing dissatisfaction. And when Narad Muni came to him, and when Vyasadeva expressed, "Dear Prabhu, please tell me, I'm feeling so much dissatisfaction, what should I do?" So please note, Narad Muni didn't just say that, "It's okay, Prabhu, just continue whatever you're doing. At the time of death, Krishna will reciprocate and then you will be fully satisfied." No. Narad Muni really shook him up. Said that, "Why, you should be introspecting. What are you doing? You're not feeling satisfied. That means there is something you're doing which is not right. There is nothing," like Anandandavan Prabhu always says, "goody goody." You know? The spiritual master is not supposed to say, tell goody-goody things and give us false promises. Of course, sometimes senior devotees do that, depending on the condition of the person asking the question, simply to encourage. But in our heart of hearts, we should understand that if there is some dissatisfaction, it is time to deeply introspect. We cannot just push it under the carpet saying that, yeah, everything is going to be fine. I'm just going to do what I'm doing. And at the time of that, I can expect some kind of special mercy there. So, when we see this dissatisfaction, if you just look at it even more closely, dissatisfaction is probably all pervading. We are dissatisfied in the kind of sadhana that we are leading. We are dissatisfied about the health, levels of health that we are having now. We are dissatisfied about, the finances or job. Actually, there are, dissatisfaction is probably there in all aspects of our life, but one dissatisfaction perhaps is the most pricking. That is dissatisfaction in terms of relationships. Okay, it is something like everything else is going very much fine in your life. Your stomach is full, you're full with prasadam, everything is nice. But if you're walking on the road and a small thorn, what is the size of a thorn? Nothing, even less than a millimeter perhaps. But if that millimeter, width, less than a fraction of a millimeter width thorn gets into your foot, that dissatisfaction, that negativity is going to overwhelm all the other positive experiences that you have. That is human psychology actually. That is how we are built. Always negative experiences tend to overpower whatever positive experience. You might have 1,000 positive experiences, but one negative experience can completely overwhelm it. So similarly, this dissatisfaction that we have that pinches us the most is anybody. Everything is going fine. But even one devotee comes in and says, "Prabhu, we have a relationship problem." That is really going to upset us. So, there are two lines I just want to read out about the satisfaction thing. Brilliant, like always, our founder Acharya, the way he presents it. "Perfection is never attained till one is satisfied at heart." You don't feel perfect until and unless you're satisfied at heart. So the second line says, it's a two-line purport. So obviously the second line should tell us how to be satisfied. So this satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter. Which tells us that if you're looking for satisfaction within things of this world, you will not be happy. this satisfaction has to come out from something which is beyond matter. So what is that? So just like I would like to kind of connect to, just keep this thought in your mind. Let's go ahead, I'll connect it back. The Saturday class, brilliant classes of Kaunteya Prabhu and Rasaraj Prabhu on Saturday and Sunday. Basically, it was the same theme in which Kaunteya Prabhu was basically saying that how this, whatever we perceive, we don't know whether it's real or not. It's just that now this, the stand is there or this book is there. I'm perceiving it to be a book because I don't know what it is really, but my mind is telling me that this is a book. So I'm not really sure whether this is real or not. And Rasaraj Prabhu kind of hammered that point in and again said that actually this is not real, it's very temporary, because this book, after some time, after a few years, it is just going to turn back into the elements. But at the same time, there is a reality, even though this is unreal, what my mind is perceiving, but there is a reality beyond this. So when we are... So this is a very interesting combination. So whenever in life, there is an unreal world and a real world, and the challenge of a sadhaka is he has to negotiate himself very expertly and shift himself between the unreal and the real world. If you call the unreal world as a matrix, he has to come out of the matrix and also live in the matrix. And it is very important that we are able to deal with both very expertly. I'll try to give two examples which I've heard from classes sitting here, before. One example is our great Acharya. Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Rahu Mora Ash, Prarthana Kore Sada, Narottam Das. So both examples are from our great Acharyas, Rupa and Raghunath. One example of Rupa Goswami is that when he was meditating, he was in that world. He was engaged in services in that world. But when that Vrajvasi passed in front of him and somehow he just laughed out because he was so absorbed in something that was happening in the leelas of the spiritual world. In his dhyan, he was enjoying that leela, and here in this material world, he kind of burst out laughing. So that Vrajvasi, even though he was lame, he thought that this person is insulting me. How can Rupa Goswami, such a big acharya, insult me? And he felt bad. And when he felt bad, immediately what happened is the leela that was taking place in Rupa Goswami's heart, that just disappeared. Zoop! It's almost like the TV was shut off. So even though something was done in that, that mistake was done in this world, but okay, now try to see it in context. Acharyas never make mistakes, but just because we are trying to prove a point, we are telling this. Rupa Goswami, that incident happened in this world, but it affected the his leela in that world, his vision in that world. And take for example the opposite scenario, Raghunath Das Goswami. We know this example wherein as a manjari he was assisting the gopis in making nice arrangements for Krishna and Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and there was some sweet rice left, and when that sweet rice was, and then they offered this manjari, Raghunath Das Goswami, and when Raghunath Das Goswami ate the sweet rice, in that world actions there affected his physical body here. The Ayurvedic doctor came and said, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was drinking only 3 drops of buttermilk. Ayurvedic doctor said, no, he's overeaten, he's taken too much sweet rice. So an action done there has affected his personality here. So it is very important to understand this. Sometimes when we get into spiritual life, we just kind of separate the two. Okay, my spiritual life and this is my material life. But it's probably not so. It is extremely integrated. And we got to do something about it. So this is very interesting. We're talking about satisfaction. So on one hand, we can be satisfied when we focus ourselves on the absolute truth. We discussed that Srimad Bhagavatam verse, Yayatma Su Prasidati, Paro Dharmo. You have to be focused on the absolute truth, the reality out there. But at the same time, if you really want to be satisfied, we have to be very, very conscious of our dealings and our relationships of this world. So there has to be something that we do that kind of balances both. Otherwise, it is not probably possible to be deeply and genuinely satisfied in the heart. So this is like a question mark. How what to do about it? So obviously, when there is doubt, we have to turn to the Lord, because we are like His children, and the Lord is there to help us. come out of this kind of dwanda or dilemma. So this, so let's see what the Lord does. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Praye Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. The incarnation of the law of this age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come and said that, my dear children, if you want to be satisfied, I'll give you a process which will make you fully satisfied. So now let's look at this principle of Sankirtan in the context of this, focusing on the absolute truth, absolute reality, and also focusing on our relationship in this world. And let's see how the Sankirtan process, Naam Sankirtan, is the ultimate way by which we can satisfy the Lord. So when we look at it more deeply, the foundational principle, fundamental principle of Sankirtan is, I need you and you need me. This is going to be a recurring theme. Please keep this in your mind. So what is Sankirtan? Sankirtan is basically when we come together and glorify the Lord. So there are different kinds of Kirtan. There is Rupa Kirtan, there is Leela Kirtan, there is Guna Kirtan. And then there is the king of all Kirtans, Naam Kirtan. Naam Kirtan, wherein we come together and chant the names of the Lord. And of all kinds of Naam Kirtan, the Mahamantra Kirtan, Sneha Samyukta Mahamantra Kirtan, that is the highest of all. Actually, we always hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's quote. We have heard it many times. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said once that for this age of Kali, Vaishnava Seva is the Yuga Dharma. But it is also very interesting to note how in one of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's book, Sri Chaitanya's Teachings, he mentions this, you know, about something extremely interesting. You'll find it very interesting if you already don't know this. There are five potent forms of devotional service. Mathura Vas, Sadhu Sangh, Sri Murti Seva, Bhagavat Shravan, and Naam Kirtan. Five. These five out of 64 principles of devotional service, these five are extremely potent. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Mathura Vas, Sri Murti Seva, Bhagavat Shravan, and Sadhu Sangh, in Kali Yuga, to be fully complete, they need the help of Naam Kirtan. Without Naam Kirtan, you cannot get the full benefit of these four extremely potent devotional service. But at the same time, Naam Kirtan is so powerful that single-handedly, standalone, it can give one the entire perfection of life. One's Swaroop can be revealed. And one's eternal service to the Lord can be revealed. There are other instances wherein Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, my Lord, there are so many things in devotional service, so many angas. What do you think is the best? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, of all the angas of devotional service, chanting the names of the Lord in Sankirtan together is the best. When Lord was at another time, the Lord was in a different mood, very compassionate mood, he was asking Haridas Thakur, oh dear Haridas, you tell me, how will the non-living entities, or non-moving entities be also delivered? So Haridas Thakur said, my dear Lord, simply by loud chanting of the names of the Lord, this Hare Krishna mantra, everybody can be delivered. So this is, in one sense, what is this Sankirtan? Sankirtan, His Grace Ayendra Prabhu, and very recently I heard the same thing from His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, says that it is like petitioning the Lord. Just like always, some of us may have had experiences of signing online petitions. Recently, this maybe 2-3 years ago, when the Bhagavad Gita was banned in Russia, I think many Indians came together and there was like an online petition. You sign the petition and you keep signing, and that petition is finally sent to the embassy and the Russian president, and then they became taken aback. Oh my God, there's such an overwhelming petition to change our decision. So similarly, in that petition, just try to see this, let's see this thing about petition. When you're signing the petition, it doesn't matter really who you are, what is your level, how rich you are, how poor you are, what is your position, whether you're pretty, whether you're old, whether you're nice, nothing. Just sign the petition. Come together and sign the petition. So similarly, Sankirtan is that you are coming together, you're coming in front of the Lord, and saying, "My Lord, please, I need you and I want to serve you desperately. Please don't ignore me." When we are doing it alone, Krishna may or may not take us seriously. So many factors are there. But when such a big group is coming together and just appealing to the Lord in a unified way, and everybody has that desire, "My Lord, please, please take us seriously." That is Sankirtan. Just like his example, historically also we see Chand Kazi, when there were just one or two devotees chanting the names, he just went with his chest upright and then went and broke the mridanga. But later on in the evening, when millions and millions of people, he didn't even see them, he simply heard them, he took them extremely seriously. Like the phrase goes, he shivered in his pants. And he had to take them seriously. So that is what the Sankirtan is. In Kali Yuga, this is the benediction. In fact, demigods are taking birth here, just waiting to take birth, to take part in the Sankirtan movement. In fact, sometimes acharyas also tell us, and senior devotees who have very much experienced in taking part in long hours of Sankirtan tells us that the Sankirtan is so much attractive to the Lord that it has a direct effect on our individual japa also. And the explanation given is, when you are all coming together in Sankirtan and appealing to the Lord, simply it doesn't matter who you are, what is your level, whether you're realized, you're not realized, you're understanding what you're doing. No, you're just getting together and you're praying to the Lord in a unified way. And the Lord sees, "Hey, who is this? Who's this? Who's this boy? Or who's this girl taking so much interest in Sankirtan?" He decides to take more interest in you. And when you're chanting japa, when you're trying to develop an individual relationship with him, because the Lord is so eager to know who you are, who are you who's taking so much interest to come together and appeal to me? Let me know more about you. So then our taste and our connection with the holy name during japa increases. This is said by expert people who are very much into chanting Hare Krishna. So generally, when we see, let's talk about cooperation. We can look at it from different points of view, this kind of relationships, what it takes to get together. If you just see it from a normal musical instrument point of view, there is a kirtan leader, there are instrument players, and there is a chorus. There is so much cooperation that is required from every party. It's so much interdependent actually. The kirtan leader, we might think, kirtan leader generally gets all the credit. But the kirtan leader, many of us may have led kirtans. And we know that how much dependent we are there on the instrument players. You might be having an intention of singing in one particular way, one particular pace, one particular tempo. But if the instrument player decides to do his own thing, the kirtan is gone for a toss. You are leading, you're singing some tune, but the audience just refuses. I'm not saying can't, just refuses to follow the tune. The kirtan is gone for a toss. And the audience is eager for enthusiastic kirtan. But the kirtan leader is very, just got up from his sleep and somebody's told me I've got other things to do. They also lose their enthusiasm. It completely gets spaced out, like we say. So it is so important that when every party, whatever is your role, when you get together and do kirtan, then that becomes a nourishing experiences for all participants in the kirtan, participating in that kirtan, and also it satisfies the Lord. That is what all the shastras say. Another angle to look at this cooperation thing is that when we are doing sankirtan, when the renounced order is doing sankirtan, Brahmachari Ashram is doing sankirtan, we should be very, very aware of this fact that we are able to do sankirtan only and only because the grahasthas are working so hard. They are giving their blood, sweat and tears to support us so that we can do sankirtan together. We should never ever forget that actually. If we forget that, that's the biggest mistake. And we will never be able to really enter what that sankirtan is. We should always remember that they have consciously made the decision to take up so much austerity simply so that they can selflessly support us. And when we look at it from the other point of view, the Grihastha should always remember that they might be doing their own spiritual practices at home, they might be giving donations to the temple, they might be doing so many things, but only because there is a vibrant community of renounced order who's practicing Sankirtan intensely in the temple, are they getting inspired to follow this process their whole life. It is an extremely interdependent kind of cooperation that is required here. It is not a standalone process. If we think, we should not consider Sankirtan to be a very standalone kind of a thing. I do it. If we are sitting here, that means, just like we are here, we are just like in the morning we are chanting japa. Why we are able to chant japa? Because there are devotees in the kitchen who are sacrificing their valuable time and serving us so that by the time we finish japa, we are able to have prasadam. So many things we are interdependent on others. How can we forget that? That is the greatest arrogance if we think that we can do any activity, especially Sankirtan, on our own strength. Sometimes, another way to find out what is our consciousness, what is the level at which we are, is when we see a group of devotees engaged in Sankirtan, what goes on in our heart actually? Seriously, when we look into our own hearts, do we see devotees engaged in Sankirtan as simply people who have nothing better to do? Oh, they are doing such simple activities. I am doing such great things. Look at the level I am functioning at. Look at the sevas I am doing. And these guys simply, they are just chanting some names. What is this? Of course, Prabhupada said, chanting is so simple, even a child can do it. Of course, Prabhupada said, even a dog can take part. But the fact is it really so simple? Sometimes we might feel that, yes, oh, these devotees who are simply engaged in Sankirtan, they don't know the reality of life, they are trying to escape. It's like a drug or some anesthesia which has to be taken, which deadens the material pain. But actually, Sankirtan is the surgery. It is the surgery which removes the cancer which is there in our heart. It is not simply anesthesia. What is the cancer which is there in our heart? What is the greatest cancer? The greatest cancer in our heart is that we feel we are very special. We feel that our understanding, our realizations, our spiritual advancement is very special. And everything is like, these guys are just new, you know. Okay, I'm just telling them, okay. Or this guy is a neophyte, this is a non-devotee. No. The cancer of our mind is this. We have to understand that actually Sankirtan is the biggest democracy, democratic unit, if you can say. It completely levels everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, what you're done, what realization, where, what level you are at. If just come together and petition the Lord, like we discussed earlier, when we sign the petition, do we put in bracket, okay, I'm the CEO or I'm the book godown in charge? Who cares for your book godown and everything? Just come together and appeal to the Lord. Understand that on my own I'm nothing. My Lord, please. Only you can get me out of this, and all my fellow members who are chanting with me, only they can get me out. Let's look at this a little more closely. Sometimes we get into the trap that we feel that, oh, only the spiritual master, I just have to have a relationship with the spiritual master. When he is there, he'll take me out. I don't really need all this. And if I'm hearing kirtan or katha, I should just hear it from the senior devotees or the spiritual master. We don't need to get together when anyone else is speaking or doing kirtan. It is something like, I like this analogy, it is something like, for so many years, the mother has been feeding, cooking for the kids, very lovingly feeding the kids, putting it in the mouth, nourishing the kids. And suddenly the mother has to leave the house for some urgent work. So are the children going to just sit at home and starve to death? Will they just say, okay, my mother is not there, so I won't have anything. It's okay. Oh, those are the good old days. My mother was there. She used to cook so nicely, feed me so nicely. Now those days are not there. Do we sit and cry? Or do the kids somehow get together? Of course, they are not expert. They don't know the recipe. Somehow or the other, they will cook something. There will be fights as to later on after the cooking, who will wind up the kitchen, who will take care of all the washing, the utensils. Everything is there. But if something is there in the top floor, the kids will get together and say that, okay, look, what is the reality? Reality is mother is not there. We are starving. Let's at least cook something. So similarly, it may not be possible. You know, how much we'll cry that spiritual master, we want the spiritual master, we want the senior devotees, oh, what is this, good old days, Pune Yatra was there, full day kirtan, Sunday feast, such a long katha, now nothing is there, what is this? We have to get together, whatever it is, definitely quality will be less, we don't know the recipe, nothing. But the essence is, we have to get together and engage in glorifying the Lord and pleasing the Lord. Because that is what is going to satisfy the Lord. It is a simple principle. That is why the principle is simple. That is why Prabhupada said anybody can follow this principle. Child or a dog. But we have to put in efforts to apply this principle. Just like if we say that, you know, oh, kirtan is so easy, you know, I want something intense. So, kirtan is not really so easy. Especially when you're sitting long hours for kirtan. One advantage of giving Bhagavatam classes once in 6-7 months is that whenever before you talk about any concept, you get enough time to practice that concept actually. So in my humble opinion, like somehow I was just trying in my very wayward way to kind of sit in kirtans for a long time. And the main thing is, it is an extremely painful process. You may think it's very enjoyable. But on the bodily level, on the mental level, and on the ego level, it is extremely painful. On the bodily level, you sit like this, your back starts aching, your knees start aching, your shoulders start aching, head starts paining. It's an extremely, completely on the mundane point of view, extremely painful. And on the mental level, it is so difficult to concentrate on the holy name. Just because one is sitting for long hours does not mean one is hearing the holy name. It is so difficult. And internally one gets totally exposed. Totally. Oh my God, my Lord. I am in the movement. I am associating with devotees. So much hearing and chanting. Yet, I am not able to hear one mantra. I am not able to hear half a mantra. What is wrong with me? And on the ego level it is so difficult. Simply because, how can we just simply glorify someone else selflessly? Our ego tells us, why the hell do you want to take someone else's name? Everyone else should take your name. So it is completely difficult. If you don't believe me, please kind of try it out in my humble way. I am just asking you. Sit for long hours of kirtan and get humble. Because in that way, the holy name will enter our heart. So that is what we should be looking for, in the sense that we should all get together and see that actually I cannot do it on my own. Generally in this world, relationships, at least the way it is progressing now in Kali Yuga, relationships means cutting. You just cut. Okay, if I'm having a relationship problem with you, cut. I won't talk to you. I won't speak to you. Just get out. You know, cut between spouses, cut between brahmacharis. Oh, I can't deal with this person. Cut, 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 cut. That's the way that, that's the easiest way actually to deal with relationship problems. But when we know that, oh my God, on my own, forget about all the other things. Forget about how much glory I'm getting, how much praise I'm getting for all the services, everything. But in my heart of heart, when I'm convinced that actually, if I want to get out of here, there is no other shelter other than when other devotees sign my petition. And the more devotees sign my petition, the merrier, you know, the more the merrier actually. So that is what we should try to do. We should try to collect as many devotees and please, let's all sign petitions for each other. So when we know the importance of having relationships, when I know that, okay, this person's petition is important for me, then how much I will put an effort to have a good relationship with this person. Okay, we may have our differences. Okay, I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like your understanding. I don't like so many things about you. You also don't like so many things about me. But Prabhu, I need you. And you need me. Let's understand this deeply. That is what Sankirtan is all about. When we understand this deeply, then we can get together and work hard to settle our differences. Otherwise, it is so easy. We will only be with people whom we like, whom we match, and the moment there is some difference of opinion, cut it. Cut it. Does it require some great realization to cut it? So that is why this process of Sankirtan is so important. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he says that Sankirtan is a Yoga Dharma, he knows that in Kali Yuga, people are going to have relationship problems. So he very expertly gave us this process, wherein if we have to genuinely get into Sankirtan, we have absolutely no option but to work out our differences, settle our differences, or at least, even if differences are there, agree to simply come together as a unified group, and deeply pray to the Lord to get us out of here. So when we do this, we spoke about satisfaction, or we began from satisfaction. When we do this, it becomes a sublime offering to the Supreme Lord, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And when this offering is done in that mood, when everybody, irrespective of what your position is, who you are, what you have done, just come together, and when you are intensely petitioning the Lord becomes so satisfied, He opens the tap of satisfaction within our heart. And when we are internally satisfied, then it really doesn't matter, should I give more time to my sadhana? Should I do more things for the institution? Should I do more things for preaching? When we are internally deeply satisfied, everything else is the same. Whether you're doing things for your personal growth, or whether you're doing things for the institution. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you just don't remember anything about this class, please remember just one thing, that I desperately need you, and hopefully you also need me. Thank you very much. Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.